Good morning, it's 8:43 at WFIR. We are pleased to be joined again live in the studio by Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell to catch up on what's going on in the Star City. And he joins WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me this morning. Bob, it's always good to see you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Always good to be here.
Well, let's start out by discussing the recommendations made by the Star City Strong Recovery and Resiliency Panel, Bob, on the $64.5 million that are earmarked for Roanoke from the American Rescue Plan. So first of all, what was the goal for using those funds, and what were the categories the panel decided to focus on?
Sure, yeah. As you mentioned, $64.5 million, that's what we'll get in total, half of which we've already received. The other half will come next year about this time. A panel of 36 individuals were appointed by the council to help make recommendations. They met seven times over really July and August, made their recommendations to the council on Monday, and really made it in kind of three categories: people, places, and governance. And so 15% of the funding they've dedicated toward governance, and that's to take care of the things we need to take care of, keeping our building safe, keeping our workforce safe, those kinds of things. The rest of the money is going toward those people and places initiatives over that period of time. And it ranges from quick fix projects out to very long-term, hopefully transformational projects.
And some of these are recovery projects, Bob, as opposed to others are resiliency projects.
Right.
So what is that all about?
Yeah, that's the distinction between kind of those quick fix. So if you think of the recovery ones, they were referring to those sort of the Band-Aids. So those are the things, get money out quick, won't be a lot of money, but hopefully will mean something to someone. So for example, folks that can't pay their utility bills because they've been unemployed because of COVID, or small businesses that need grants, those are recovery. The resiliency ones are intended to be the longer term kinds of projects that will take longer to deliver and also hopefully have a longer lasting impact. Affordable, safe, accessible housing, for example, is one of those that fell into that category.
And I know that one of the mandates for the charges for this spending this money, Bob, was it had to be projects that have a lasting impact to some extent.
Yeah, correct. Have a lasting impact. Also, don't duplicate something that's already receiving assistance or aid, which is becoming more complicated just because there is so much money out there as well. And then the council really wanted to add that piece that not only would be the long-lasting, but hopefully transformational, either for the residents that it's intended to serve or for the area in which the investment's being made.
I mean, this doesn't happen very often where local governments have money, excess money like this.
Yeah.
Do you think that possibly down the road that if this works really well for, you know, cities like Roanoke and places, that the federal government may say, look, a little bit of money can be leveraged and we could really make some changes?
Yeah, you'd like to believe that. This is, you know, certainly it's never actually happened before. There has never been a time in the U.S. history where the federal government has provided every local unit of government federal assistance. That has never occurred. There were times when the federal government was a much stronger partner with localities in providing funds. And a lot of that has gone away. And I do hope that they'll see how these funds are used responsibly and making real differences, and that perhaps they'll become a stronger partner than maybe we've been able to have in the past.
We're talking with Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell. He's back with us. And with some of the things that, and there's a focus on Northwest, building a new community hub, a business incubator in Northwest Roanoke, new recreation center.
Right.
Is it sort of a nod, Bob, that neighborhood, that part of the city really needs help, maybe as even a holistic way to address the whole gun violence issue?
Yeah, it comes out of two reasons. One is the act itself that came from Congress is intended and required actually to have an equity orientation. So looking for those areas in your communities where there was a disproportionate impact associated with COVID. And in our community, certainly our impoverished neighborhoods suffered more during COVID. And on top of that, the council has had for a number of years this objective to focus on equity and, again, addressing disparities. Certainly the Northwest and the Southeast are those areas that we tend to focus on, and that is certainly the case here. And then there is, I think, linkages to some of the other initiatives the city has underway. You mentioned gun violence and certainly the effort to take a comprehensive view of that, which includes getting people gainfully employed. It includes having adequate recreation facilities, folks being able to start businesses, those types of things, as one of the tools we would use to combat that.
You mentioned the new recreation center. I guess it's to replace the Eureka Park Center, which
right.
is an oldie but goodie.
Yeah, most likely. You know, the two that we have are the oldest are, or not the oldest, but the two that we have that are the most active and older are Preston and Eureka. Most likely these funds will go to replace Eureka. Those two rec centers were at the top of the list in terms of needs from the recently completed master plan, followed by the two pools that we have in the city.
Mm-hmm. I'm just Were you surprised, Bob, again, we're talking with Bob Cowell, the city manager in Roanoke, by some of the ideas that people came up with on this panel and maybe the time and energy they put into it?
Yeah, I mean, we used a similar panel when we had the CARES Act funding in, and that group did a phenomenal job, as did this group. So wasn't surprised by their commitment and dedication. They met 7 Wednesdays in a row, and pretty much everyone met, everyone attended those. This time they were in person. Last time they were virtual. They took their job very seriously. They were very committed. Most of the projects, I think, came out of that were projects you might have anticipated would come from that. Things like job training, small business assistance, and so on. But there were some things that came about that I think only came about as a result of this effort. The most obvious example is the Northwest hub in the Melrose area, which is intended to include the ever sought after grocery store in that area. Mm. I don't know that that would have come out of this process without that involvement. Mm.
Before I throw it back to Joey, one more question about this. $64.5 million has to be spent by 2024, so there's planning, engineering, bids to get out. And you also said at Monday's city council meeting that there might be a way to kind of leverage more funds to even amplify this.
Right. As we've been saying all along, you know, $64.5 million is an incredible amount of funding coming into our community. But there are literally billions of dollars out there being delivered directly from the federal government and other agencies and the state government. And we'll be combing every one of those opportunities to see if we can take this investment and make even more success with it.
And this is even before the infrastructure bill,
if and when it gets passed.
That
doesn't include the infrastructure bill or the things you're talking about in the budget reconciliation either.
All right, it's 8:50 at WFIR. Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell is in studio with us this morning. Bob, Roanoke City has announced the hiring of Chris Roberts as the Youth and Gang Violence Prevention Coordinator with 2 additional outreach workers to follow, and a state grant will fund those positions for 2 years. This was a recommendation from the Gun Violence Prevention Task Force. There's been another round of shootings lately in this city. Bob, what does this city hope to see from this very important hiring?
Sure, yeah. I'm glad we're able to welcome Chris into our organization. Of course, he's been working indirectly in this area with us along for the past several years. But this is a part of the council's and really the city's comprehensive response. And I've said it and I'll say it every time that this is a community issue. This is not a law enforcement issue. Law enforcement has a role to play in this, as does the rest of the city, but certainly so do our residents and citizens. This position is really designed to help us hone in specifically on the gang activities that may be present in our community, and both attempt to intervene or disrupt those along with law enforcement, as well as hopefully finding ways in which we can keep the youth from ever actually getting involved in that particular viewpoint or approach. Very similar to an effort that was very successful in Danville some years back, and certainly is serving as somewhat of a model here for us as well.
And I know I've heard the Danville coordinator speak on one of the meetings. And between that and the police department hired the reset coordinator.
Right.
Do you think Roanoke's on the right track as far as getting some of these things tamped down, plus some of the economic things you're doing?
Yeah, I do. At the same time, I acknowledge, as we've been acknowledging all along, we're not seeing the outcomes that we want to see. Obviously, the real outcomes we want to see and the community want to see is, of course, stopping the violence and actually a reduction in those. I do think it's very important, though, to stress again that it's a comprehensive approach. There's been a lot of focus, understandably, on the Gun Violence Prevention Commission and their activities, and they're critical and important. But this is not absent law enforcement. City Council spent $1.5 million on salaries for police officers. We've authorized a $7,000 recruitment bonus for folks that come from other agencies. We have two bonuses last year, another one coming up this year. And that is all to shore up our law enforcement folks who have a very difficult job associated with this. And, of course, they've been partnering with their federal and state agencies in making and other operations. So this is a law enforcement response, a community response, a roots cause response, and a youth-oriented response. It has to be comprehensive.
Right. And I know when I've heard the Gun Violence Prevention Task Force, Joe Cobb, you know, City Council, talks about that holistic approach a lot. You know, you've made equity and interwoven equity in the city's updated comprehensive plan a focus, Bob, and talk about that and what progress has the Equity and Empowerment Advisory Board made this year?
Sure. So in the comprehensive plan that was approved, it actually weaved kind of 2 overarching themes in it in addition to the traditional things of land use, housing, transportation. Those were interwoven equity, as you mentioned, and then health outcomes or health for all. And so those 2 are supposed to overlay kind of everything we do. One of those efforts that came out of that was the formation of the Equity and Empowerment Advisory Board. That board has been meeting for about 9 months now, and also has broken into kind of committees, or they formed committees to help them in their efforts. Some of their initial actions were pretty kind of low-hanging fruit, high-level things like obviously the renaming of the plaza.
Lee Plaza,
and of course the removal of the monument in those areas. What they're really focused on now are the policies that the city has in place to ensure that none of those policies are promoting disparities, and more importantly, probably looking for policies that might actually advance on that empowerment. So they're still very much in that kind of data collection gathering mode. And as they approach their year, you'll start seeing action plans coming out of that group.
Yeah, and I know one of the subcommittees I saw was is called Breaking the Cycle of Poverty. And again, you could look at that as again, one of those holistic approaches to recommended by the Gun Violence Prevention Task Force as a way to offer a better path for residents.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I think the terminology of interwoven was so important in what they were doing, because it again recognizes the comprehensive and coordinated nature of all of these things that we're doing. These are not things that can be done one-off or in silos. They all relate to one another. Poverty relates to gun violence. Gun violence and poverty relate to health outcomes. And all of that relates to our economic success in the community. If we can't make progress on those things, eventually it will impact negatively our economic activities in the community.
And some of this stuff in Roanoke is systemic as far as, or institutional as far as the way certain neighborhoods are. And you've got to get to a point where people can see the light at the end of the tunnel, where they feel there's something better out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that you see poverty in this community concentrated in just a couple of neighborhoods. And you go back and there are historical reasons for those, some of which were institutional, some of those were economic with them. But if we don't make the investments to assist in those areas, in some ways, some cases at a higher degree than other parts of the city, you will not see those neighborhoods advance. And that's why you're seeing some of these investments really targeted in those areas.
And you know, the way I look at it is all these people living downtown in apartments. They get married, they want to have kids, but they like the vibe of the city. They want to stay in the city. Well, where are the most affordable neighborhoods? Northwest and Southeast. Yeah. But they've got to be neighborhoods people are comfortable living in.
Yeah, absolutely. I've often said it at different presentations I've given that if we are as successful as we all hope we will be with the Carilion's growth, with the innovation corridor and those types of things, we have to be able to offer folks that are getting those jobs in our community or coming to our community for those jobs more than one or two neighborhoods within which to live. We have to offer up all of our neighborhoods, and also for the residents that are here, they have to have the strongest neighborhoods they can so that they can be as successful as they can possibly be.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left. We talk with Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell. I just wanted to change subjects and talk about the Go Outside Festival coming back in a couple of weeks. A hiatus last year because of COVID. It's moving out of River's Edge, and at least for this year, it's coming downtown from Elmwood Park down to the market area. Yeah. Talk about that. That's something that the retail shops and eateries have to like.
Yeah, it's a shift that was out of necessity and an opportunity. The opportunity really is to be able, as you said, to kind of help bolster the downtown businesses that have struggled so much through COVID. The necessity piece really was the event itself is going to be smaller than it has been in the past. There are just not as many retailers that can actually travel to be able to participate. Things as simple as food trucks are not as prevalent as they were, and it would have been noticeably sparse in its prior location. And having it in downtown will offer an opportunity to have it a little more concentrated, a little more dense. It's allowing us still to do it outside so we can have it in as safe a setting as is possible, but get the added benefit of really assisting those businesses in downtown. And a little bit different, I think, for the folks that attend. Don't know if that'll be its permanent new home or if we'll find a return back to River's Edge following this, but something different this year.
Got about a minute left. I just wanted to kind of end with this. You know, Roanoke City has created a number of resident advisory panels on your watch, like the ones we just talked about. And talk about, Bob, how that fits with your whole concept of what local government should be.
Sure. First, I always start with saying that local government's best form of government there is. This is the place where real things get done, and they get done outside of politics. And so therefore, it is also vitally important that our community be engaged, not only in receiving those services, but actually in shaping what those services look like and beyond just elections. So it's an opportunity for folks to get together, help figure out what's best for their neighborhoods, their families, and their city. And I firmly believe that that actually makes us a much stronger city.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell, it's always great to check in with you. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.